We are looking at Nehemiah chapter 6 today. The little subtitle in my Bible says Conspiracy Against Nehemiah. So you know this is going to be fun. When we get intrigue right off the bat. But I have a question for you before we dive into this. Do you want your life to honor God? Think about that. Do you want your life to honor God? Most Christians would say yes. In fact, a lot of non-Christians would say yes. I'd love my life to honor God. Well, so we're going to look today at Nehemiah, one leader's life, how his life and his integrity were assaulted, and how we can respond in faith to the devil's schemes to ensnare and destroy our lives and destroy our integrity. No one wants their legacy to be this. Don't be like that guy. No, I mean, we might not be able to say, like, what do you want your legacy to be? You know, we ponder and we think and, oh, well, what do I really want? Like, at one point, I had boiled it all down to one phrase. And that phrase was this: his passion for Jesus was contagious. That was, I said, if I could leave a legacy, I would say his passion for Jesus was contagious. And I don't want my legacy to be, don't be like that guy. I don't want that. John 10:10 says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So as we read through Nehemiah 6, which we're going to read the chapter, it's a fairly short one. Keep this in mind. There's a thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy, but God has another plan. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, is what Jesus said. So picking up Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab, these are the bad guys in the story, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors in the gates. So you've got a wall that's been built and these holes where they will eventually hang gates. So at this point, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come and let us meet together at Hakephirim in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat for the fifth time, this is like a small child, isn't it? They just keep coming after you, the same thing, over and over. Please. The fifth time sent his servant to me with an open letter in his hand. This is not like a small child now. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you're building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. And now the king, speaking of the Persian king, ruler of the Persian Empire, now the king will hear of these reports. So now come and let us take counsel together. Then I said to him, saying, no such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Now when I went into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home, he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night. But I said, should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. Those are great prophets to have around, aren't they? They want to make you afraid. So the wall was finished. On the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them, for many in Judah were bound by oath to him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah. And his son Jehohanan, that's a fun one, had taken the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, as his wife. Basically saying they've intermarried and this guy's got influence because he married into the people of God. Also, they spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to make me afraid. He didn't seem to be very afraid. This is really interesting. So what did we just read? A little bit ago, we said, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I came, they may have life and have it abundantly. And there's three ways that the enemy is coming in here, trying to steal and kill and destroy what God is doing, and actually trying to steal and kill and destroy Nehemiah and his reputation. And the first thing he tries to do is four different times he comes at Nehemiah to distract him. Now, we're starting today in chapter 6 of this book. But there's been five chapters leading up to this of Sanballat and Tobiah trying to stop the work of God. They've been trying everything. They've been threatening. They've been trying to gather an army. The people had to form their own defenses and have, you know, they're standing, building a wall, being masons, building a wall, carrying swords and bows and arrows and having to be like super manly men while they are also trying to just build a wall. I kind of like these guys. But none of it worked. And so now what they're trying to do is distract. When the enemy can't get you to stop building, he can't get you to just turn away from what you know God's called you to do, he will come in and try to distract you. Distraction, distraction, distraction. What is it that God's called me to do? Sanballat and Tobiah, they're coming after him saying, hey, you need to come out and meet with us. You need to come meet with us. Now, what was their purpose in the distraction? It was bigger than just to distract him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to ambush him and take out the leader. Can I just say this? If you want to lead in the kingdom of God, you need prayer. The enemy doesn't like you. He wants to distract you and he wants to take you out. So can I just say this very humbly? Please pray for me. I need it. I'm not so egotistical as to think I can't be distracted and the devil can't mess with my life. Please pray for me. Pray for Donald. As God continues to build and add to our team, pray for us. Let's pray for one another. And let's stay in relationship with one another. But when the distractions come, because they will, and the enemy wants to take us out, we'll be ready. So what does he say to him? Come and meet with us. Sounds simple. But Nehemiah, in order to meet with them the way they're requesting, would have to walk outside the walls to do it. The very walls they've been building to protect the city and to protect themselves. Nehemiah would have to, of his own volition, walk outside of the wall into the area where he's vulnerable. Now, we are called to be a people that is a part of the world. We were never called to be separate in the sense of we don't hang out with unbelievers and we don't hang out with the enemies of God. Actually, we're called to do exactly that. We're on offense in this life. We're supposed to be carrying the kingdom of God, not hiding inside of it. But when we are dealing with issues and we're trying to accomplish a mission, Nehemiah is trying to accomplish building a wall, and you've got constant distraction coming at you, it can be tempting to move a little bit outside of what God has built for you to get the job done. Basically saying the ends justify the means. Now, in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18, God says, you guys are going to call your walls, not a wall, not a literal wall of Jerusalem. He says, no, actually, there's a day coming where you're going to call your walls salvation. You're going to call your gates praise. You hear that? The wall around your life is the wall of salvation. That's a pretty secure wall. But what the enemy wants to get us to do, not that you're walking away from your salvation, but you walk outside of the parameters of the will of God. God says, this is what works in life. This is how we build. This is how I want you to live. And the enemy will want you to get you to walk outside of that. Here's an example. That guy cheated me in business. That guy seriously cheated me. And the only way I can see that I'm going to make the bottom line work is I'm going to have to cheat myself. And what the enemy tries to get you to do is walk outside of God's will for your life. Walk outside of it so that we can accomplish the purpose that we're trying to do. Now, I'm not saying if you sin, you have completely lost your salvation. But the devil wants to get you operating outside the walls of salvation. If God says, forgive, and in the same manner that you're forgiving others, you're actually receiving forgiveness. So guess what the devil wants you to do? Not forgive. Hold a grudge. Stay bitter. Stay angry. The enemy wants to get you operating outside God's parameters. Nehemiah is smarter than this. Much smarter than this. Even though they wear him down, they keep coming and coming and coming four different times. He responds with vision. And he responds with the mission that God has called him to do. Here's what he says. I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. It's very simple. When the enemy's trying to distract you and he's trying to get you to operate outside of God's word, no, I'm doing a great work. I can't do this. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for this sinful behavior. I do not have time. I'm doing a great work. Guys, God is doing a great work through you. He's doing a great work in the world through you. Not just randomly out there somewhere. He's doing a great work in your life and through your life to those around you. So what is it that makes your work great? What makes it a great work? It wasn't for Nehemiah that he was building an impressive wall. We actually know that the wall he was building had burned out stones in it, and the enemy made fun of his wall because it didn't look very good. It's not how cool your wall looks. It's not how impressive our church can look on the outside. It's not having everything looking good. What makes our work great is actually the one who commissioned it. If God commissioned you to be a part of Grace Church Spokane, then when you put your hand to work in Grace Church Spokane, it's a great work. And if God commissioned you to be a part of a church plant in Walla Walla, when you put your hand to that work, it's a great work. Whether anyone ever sees the great fruit from it or not is not the point. It's the one who commissioned the work that makes it great. When you respond in obedience and faithfulness to the call of God in your life, your work is great. That's what made Nehemiah's work great. Now, the enemy keeps coming. 4 times he tries to distract him. And he can't do it. He can't get Nehemiah to leave the walls. But does he quit? No. For 5 chapters he hasn't quit, and he still doesn't quit in chapter 6. The next thing he tries to bring at Nehemiah, and the enemy will try to bring in your life as well, is intimidation. The 5th time he says the same thing, come out and meet with us. But this time he says this, everyone is saying this about you. Here's the rumor. And I just wrote that down. I mean, I paraphrased it. Everyone is saying. He questions your motives. And he says, you are on a power trip, Nehemiah. You want to be the king. And guess what? Somehow, the king of Persia is going to find out that you really want to be the king. And you can just hear it like, I'm going to make sure that he finds out. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. The enemy is not afraid to lie about you. Not only is he not afraid to lie to you, he's not afraid to lie about you. Now, I'm super grateful that so far we've been on the ground in Spokane for not 3 years yet, over 2.5 years. And so far we have great relationship with multiple churches, and we don't have loads of people slandering us. There are a few, but I'm kind of grateful that we are where we are. I'm actually very grateful that we are where we are. The enemy's purpose, though, is to try to stop the work that God's people are doing. He actually says his mission was to frighten Nehemiah. Did he want him to come out? Did he want to take him out? Yes, but his real purpose wasn't kill Nehemiah. His real purpose was to get their hands to stop. And he says to drop from the work. What does the enemy want you to do? He wants you to stop working. He wants you to stop building the kingdom of God. He wants to keep you so busy or so caught up in sin that your hands drop from the work. He wants to frighten you into stopping. So here's a question. What is it that you, maybe not right now, but what is it that you're afraid of? If you think about putting your hand to the plow and getting to work in building, I'm speaking, I know we have people who aren't from Grace Church as well, but speaking of Grace Church Spokane, what is it that would keep you holding back and keep you from building? Think about that. Here's what Nehemiah says to him. I'm going to turn to it. Whoops. I turned to the wrong page. Let me turn back. I like this. No such things as you say have been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. That's all he says. What does he do? He responds with the truth. All these lies, all these threats, all of this maneuvering to try to get Nehemiah out, and all he says is, you're making this up. There's no bigger thing other than he does go to God with it and say, God, get him. Do something. He doesn't waste a lot of time on the enemy. He doesn't waste a lot of discussion. The guy is about the work of God. And he just says, that's baloney. It's not true. And keeps going. Guess what we need to do, guys? When the enemy comes at you and he wants to distract you and threaten you and lie about you, don't waste your time. Just respond with the truth. Respond with the truth. In our context, we respond with the truth of the gospel. When the enemy says, you are all about yourself and all you're trying to do is build your own little kingdom, just respond, actually, I am serving the King of Kings. And you don't actually have to say anything else. Now, kingdom purpose, guys, I already said this. Kingdom purpose is offense rather than defense. Kingdom purpose is offensive. Now, same word, we could say offensive. Kingdom purpose is offensive to the enemy. So think back again for just a minute. The things that you're afraid of that the enemy would try to throw back at you. Don't be surprised when there's opposition. Don't be surprised whether it's spiritual or people influenced by spiritual forces. I wrote down three things. There can be financial threats. There can be health threats. There can be relationship threats. Fear of lack, fear of debt gets you to hold tightly, not just to your resources. Actually, it can get you to hold tightly and be very afraid to move out in faith when God says move. When God says go, if you're afraid and your fear of, but what about the money? What about this? When God says go, you can go. Because again, what makes our work great is the one who commissioned the work. What makes it trustworthy when you feel like God's saying something? It's God himself who is faithful. You can have health threats. We've had that happen multiple times since we moved to Spokane, where people who thought they were going to be key people with us began to move out in the will of God and had serious health threats come at them. You can think this, if I seriously get about the business of building the kingdom of God, this could kill me. Guess what? It could. And you know what's going to happen the moment it does? You're going to be with the Lord. Like we sang about, with our days on this earth completed, you lead us into our great reward, right? Our focus can't be the fear of what could happen if we stay true to the mission and we stay true to what God's calling us to do. And remember this, just because stuff comes at you, and maybe you're, I'm thinking of some families in particular that dealt with some major sickness. Do not think, I must not be in God's will because I'm sick. I must not be in the will of God because this keeps happening. Kingdom purpose is offensive and offensive to the enemy. You can expect retaliation. The third thing is relationship threats. What about my kids? I had to deal with this when we moved to Spokane. What about my kids? What happens to them if we uproot them and we move them out of what they've always known? If I make my kids an idol, They learn to behave like an idol. But if I call them to participate with me in the work that God's calling us to do, well, what's going to happen? What if they rebel? What if they turn away? Guys, raise up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Does that mean there's not going to be a whole lot of bumps along the way? No. Most likely, there's going to be a lot. Raise up a child in the way they should go. What is God calling you to do? You bring your children with you. You bring them on the purpose. These are fears. These are ways that the devil will try to come at you and get you to be distracted and stop the building. Respond with the truth of God in all of these areas. The final one. He can't get Nehemiah to come out. He cannot get him to come out of the wall. Threats aren't doing it. Threatening his position, his well-being. Threatening that he's going to sic the Persian Empire on him. Can't distract Nehemiah. He refuses to stop the work God has called him to do. So what does the enemy do? Okay, so he hires a prophet, a phony prophet, to prophesy, they're coming to kill you, let's go hide in the temple. Now, does that sound bad to you at all? Like, we're gonna go to the house of God, and we're going to shut ourselves in the house of God. Why is this bad? Why? What in the world is wrong with this? Well, it is a behaving out of fear rather than faith, which is pretty big. Nehemiah says something here that's actually fairly significant. He says, "Should such a man as I run away?" And then he says, what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. And we have to understand a little bit of the culture that Nehemiah lived in to really do justice to this point. You didn't get to be the cupbearer of the king of Persia without having a few little things. There's no great way to say this. If you were a guy, you didn't get close access to the king like this as a servant or the king's wife without having a little physical alteration performed on you first. Because no one wanted to see the king's wife, the queen, or anyone in his harem impregnated by one of the king's servants. Big deal. Nehemiah is most likely a eunuch, just as in the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all of these guys, they were eunuchs. Eunuchs were prohibited from entering the temple. This was Mosaic law. If you were emasculated in any way as a man, you could not enter the temple. Nehemiah is not only being tempted to run away, he's being tempted to violate the law in the name of his own safety. Interesting. Now, we cannot prove without a shadow of a doubt that Nehemiah was absolutely a eunuch. Scripture doesn't tell us for sure, unless you're a total theology nerd, in which case, this is for you, just for a minute. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, took a little thing from the beginning of Nehemiah where it says, I was cupbearer to the king. You tweak one little thing in there, and all of a sudden you have, I was a eunuch with the king. So the words are very, very close, very similar. And the Greek, the Septuagint actually took it and said, he's a eunuch. There you go. You can go chew on that if you'd like. Go study that one out. Theology nerds unite. Study it out. Here's the point, though. He was trying to get Nehemiah to operate and to walk in fear rather than faith, whether that looks like violating the law or whether that looks like just running away from what God's called you to do. Either way, it's fear rather than faith. Romans 14:23 tells us this. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Isn't that fun? Anything that is not of faith is sin. So if we're responding in fear, it could be a really, really good thing. But it's sin because it misses the mark. God wants us to respond in faith. Thankfully, Hebrews 10:39 says this about us as the people of God. We are not of those who shrink back. We're those who press on. We press on. Nehemiah pressed on. In spite of false religious words coming at him that would try to throw him off, distract him, people coming and saying, God said, when God didn't say. That's why we always are accountable, guys, with prophetic input. If we're going to receive prophetic input, that's never just one-on-one. We always bring that in accountability. Somebody starts praying things for you and prophesying things in your life that start setting you on edge a little bit, and you're like, this doesn't feel right. You don't have to respond in that. That would be responding in fear rather than faith. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. Frighten you. Okay, so did Nehemiah get thrown off by any of this? No. He didn't. They kept going, and it says they finished the wall. Now, next week we have Trevor here. He's probably not going to preach from Nehemiah. The week after that, Tracy Batterton is actually going to come back to this same chapter. Tracy's going to speak on March 8th, and I talked to him about it. He's going to take another tack on chapter 6 and talk to us a lot about breaches in the wall and gates in our lives, which will be fantastic. I'm not going to focus there. I just want to say this as we kind of wrap up. What happens when we stay focused? Now, we know that the wall and the gates were built, the gates were hung 52 days from the time Nehemiah started the work. I can't imagine that. 52 days. Can you imagine getting any kind of construction project done in 52 days? Man, I'm thinking of that hotel downtown. That thing's still going up. A couple years down the line here. Okay, here's what happens, though. They press forward. They keep going. Those under the enemy's influence lose confidence in their own strength. It says their esteem and in their own eyes, they fell greatly. Do you know what needs to happen in our own lives and in the lives of those around us under the influence of the enemy? Our esteem in ourselves, our confidence in ourselves needs to fall. It needs to fall. Here's the second thing it says. Those under the enemy's influence see and realize God is at work. It's not that everybody goes, wow, Nehemiah, you're amazing. Actually, what they all say is, God is behind this. What needs to happen in our lives and in the lives of people you know that don't know Christ, they're on their way to hell right now. First, they need their confidence in themselves and their own strength, or their own righteousness, their own ability to get things done. They need that to fall, and they need their eyes to look not so much to you, but to the God at work, the God who saves, the God who heals, the God who brings restoration. This is what needs to happen. How are people going to turn to Christ? Well, their eyes are on themselves and their confidence is on themselves. Most don't. Until they realize, gosh, I'm maybe not as together as I thought I was. Maybe I really do need Jesus. And when they see God at work in your life, in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of real life, when they see God at work and they perceive God's doing something with you, this is how people come to Christ. Now, there's one more thing that happens. The enemy keeps opposing God. How's that for a good wrap-up to Nehemiah 6? What happens at the end? The enemy's destroyed. He's gone, and God's people are free. Ah! Actually, the enemy keeps right on opposing, trying other tactics, always looking for a way in, using people on the inside, talking about his own goodness. Keep on threatening. He keeps on threatening. Guys, that's not going to stop. As long as we're about our Father's business and we're building the kingdom of God, these things never stop this side of heaven. So you can kind of go, okay, let's put on the armor of God. Get used to the fact attacks are going to come. Hits are going to come. They're going to keep coming your way. That doesn't change. But God is going to complete what he commissions. Do you hear that? I think it says it differently on the screen. Go to that next slide. What God has commissioned, God will complete. This is where I want to leave it today. They finished the wall. Why? Because they were amazing engineers. Because they had so many great skilled laborers. Because they had massive military might behind them. Nope, nope, nope. They were jewelers and perfumers and priests, and they were regular people. They finished the wall working with inadequate materials, because what God commissions, God will complete. Who's behind it? God. Totally God. All they did is they obeyed. What did Nehemiah do? His heart broke over a people because God broke his heart. He responded. He went to Jerusalem. He rallied the people. He said, let's build. Let's do this. The people responded as they were. The perfumers. I just love that one. I kept coming back to that one a lot. They're perfumers and they're building a wall. They just obeyed. Because what God commissions, he will complete. What's our role? Stay focused on what God called us to do. It's pretty simple. We hang close to him. Our eyes, we don't have to get big and confident in our own selves. Nope, that's the way to fall. But we want to magnify God. We want to keep our focus on God. We want everyone to see that what's built here is built by God. So here's a question. Are there areas where you find yourself acting in fear rather than in faith? Whether that's with your kids or your marriage or your money or other relationships with ministry that God's given you already and entrusted to you? Are there areas where you find yourself walking in fear rather than faith? God wants to set you free from that. Are there areas where you're cooperating with the enemy, where you're walking outside the walls that God is establishing? You're walking outside of that to get the job done. If those areas, we call that a very simple word. We call that sin. It's a really big and in-depth thing, isn't it? That's called sin. If there's those areas in your life that are probably coming to mind, God wants to set you free. He just wants to set you free. This is what he's all about. Let's pray. Father, you are the one who sets people free, and you sent your son, Jesus.